Sport on RTE Radio 1.
And here's Des Cahill.
Yeah, well, yesterday we talked him up to the high heavens and we gave him the kiss of death because poor old Rory McIlroy ended 10 shots behind leader Jonathan Vegas after round one of the US PGA Championship. Reporting is Greg Allen.
There was just no easy way of explaining how Rory McIlroy's game failed to fire on any cylinders yesterday. And as he departed the recorder's office after signing for a 74, there were no words to cameras or any media, just a quick visit to the lunch buffet before heading to the practice ground, clearly searching for answers. His ball striking statistics in round one were pretty revealing, as he hit just 4 out of 14 fairways, while he took an average of around 2 strokes more on the greens than the field average. It could be easy to make the excuse that much of the last 4 weeks have been consumed by enjoying the greatest achievement of his career last month in Augusta, and as a result the sharpness in his game has been dulled somewhat. But pride and determination to at least make the cut here saw him hit nothing but drivers on the practice ground for the best part of half an hour after a round which leaves him tied for 98th position on 3 over par. It was little better for Shane Lowry as he opened with 3 early dropped shots in the first 7 holes, only to fight back with birdies on the 12th and 13th, before a bogey on the last stalled his fight back and he signed for a 2 over par 73.
I always struggle around here and today was another one of those days. And I'll just have to shoot a low one tomorrow, but don't see the ball going close out there and I don't see birdies. It's hard, it's tough when it's like that, but you know, I'll give it my best tomorrow and see what happens.
Can you see a lowish score tomorrow?
The way I'm feeling right now, probably not, but I'll try my best.
There was one subpar Irish round on day one. It came near dusk as Tom McKibben, the 22-year-old, breaking par for the first time in a major with a 1-under par 70.
It was nice, especially the course is quite tricky. It's very long and the greens are firm, so they keep the big numbers off the card and take advantage of a couple of birdies was very nice.
So a 70 for Tom McKibben, while Seamus Power opened with a 72 and Paulie Carrington a 73. The lead is held by Venezuela's Jonathan Vegas after a 7-under par 64, and he's too clear of American Ryan Gerrard and Australia's Cam Davis, while the world number one Scotty Scheffler is just 5 off the lead after a 69.
Thanks, Greg. Well, one young man who lived up to the hype last night was 17-year-old Lamine Yamal. He was the star as Barcelona clinched the Spanish league title last night, beating their neighbours Espanyol 2-0. Meanwhile, the top two teams in the League of Ireland Premier Division face tricky away games tonight. Shamrock Rovers go to Waterford. Derry City are in Drogheda, who are just 2 points behind. Elsewhere, it's Bowes versus Shelburne, Galway versus Sligo, and St Pat's versus Cork City, who've named Ger Nash as their new manager. Well, Paul Curry is going to give us his verdict, his pick of the games, Bowes versus Shelburne and Drogheda versus Derry.
Yeah, their game says that I've looked at, like looking at the league table as a whole, Des, I'm not sure that there's too many managers who will be reflecting on the first 15 games and thinking that everything has gone brilliantly well for them. I think the likes of Stephen Bradley and Tiernan Lynch at Derry City might be a little bit surprised that they're sitting as high up the table given the points they've dropped. But looking at Derry tonight, I mean, they come into this fixture against Drogheda in a brilliant vein of form. They've won 5 of their last 6 games. There seems to be a real turn in the squad. I think we were a little bit worried about Derry when we saw them at the beginning of the season. Some of the players that they had brought in were probably north of 30 and wondering what sort of side they were going to put together. But they've certainly gone through the gears in recent weeks. I earmarked Gavin White recently. I think he's been excellent. Michael Duffy continues to contribute goals and they've always got options with Boyce, Hooban and Mullen to come off the bench if needs be. So I think this is an excellent opportunity for Derry to go to Drogheda tonight, make a statement win against a Drogheda team, Des, who have fallen off, I think, since the first round of games. They're conceding a lot more goals. Kevin Doherty has changed a number of personnel at the back, trying to find that solid base to work from. But it's an excellent opportunity for Derry. And you mentioned there Bowes and Shells. I mean, Bowes have been excellent in the last couple of weeks. I think Bowes fans would probably welcome a game that doesn't involve a 90-minute winner because there's been loads of them in the last couple of weeks. But a huge strength of character from the squad and the management team to turn this around. The form that they've shown in the recent couple of weeks has been excellent. I think the performances have really improved. And it's going to be a solid test tonight against Shells. I think Shells in the second half against Pats looked more like the side of last year, more tempo, more aggression in their play. And I would imagine, Des, that that's going to be a really, really tight game.
Okay, thanks for that, Paul. There's a big game in the First Division as well, with second place Cove Ranbrus hosting the leaders Dundalk. In rugby, it's the final round of games in the ORC regular season. Ulster go to Edinburgh, while Munster have a huge game against Benetton in Cork. Any kind of win from Munster would be enough for them to get the playoff spot they need, but if they lose, they could miss out on Champions Cup rugby next season, which would be financially disastrous. We'll have full match commentary on Radio 1 Extra tonight with Michael Corcoran and Donal Lenihan. You can get Radio 1 Extra on the RTE Radio app, on the RTE website, or Serviu. In Gaelic games, big crowd expected in Longford as Louth meet Mayo in the Dalata Hotels. All-Ireland Under-20 football semi-final. Louth hoping to build on the success of their senior team last weekend. And Thurles is the venue for the Electric Ireland Munster Minor Hurling Final. Cork playing Waterford there. Meanwhile, Shane Walsh returns to the Galway football team for their All-Ireland group game against Dublin tomorrow. Now, Paul Flynn joins us to look ahead to that game. And based on recent form, it's hard to make a case for Dublin.
Yeah, it is. They're coming into this game probably licking their wounds after the Meath performance. Never mind just those results. Their panel is depleted. But they'll be hoping just to welcome back some of their key players. I see Sean Bugler isn't on the matchday squad, which is disappointing, but they have welcomed back other players, which is important. On the other hand, Galway, they're riding high after their memorable win last weekend against Mayo to secure their fourth Connacht Championship. Their squad seems to be the opposite. It's strengthened week by week, and they're very optimistic to have Shane Walsh back in action this weekend as well, which is fantastic to see. He seemed ready to go, Des. When I was in Salt Hill last week, he was running out of the pitch and trying to get out there as quick as he could. So hopefully we'll see him, which would be great. But John Maher maybe a struggle, we don't know, because he came off. But all that aside, look, for Dublin, this feels like a shot to nothing. They have, to have any chance in this game, they really need to compete 50-50 in midfield, which is a big ask against Galway. They'll need to shut down Paul Conroy with tight man marking and not let him kick them two-pointers like he did against Mayo when he has been controlling games. And they'll drastically need to improve their attacking basics, minding the ball and making sure that they're more efficient up front. Their three tall orders to turn around in quick weeks. But for Galway, their form, their depth, their home advantage, it just feels like it's too much for Dublin this weekend.
And Paul, Kerry, who play Roscommon tomorrow, Kerry are All-Ireland favourites. Is that based on their form or a perceived easy run?
A little bit of both, Des, to be fair. They've been playing great football, but they do have the weaker side of the groups, that's for sure. And they're coming off, for this game, they're coming off the comfortable win against Clare. Okay, Clare mightn't have put up the biggest test, but Kerry were excellent in that game, and you've seen their style of play, which is really suiting these new rules, and they're enjoying their football. I think this should be a stiffer test against Roscommon. But it's hard to see anything other than a Kerry victory. Kerry, Roscommon haven't been seen since their poor game against Galway in that Connacht semi-final. They misfired up front that day, but they do have quality up top. We know that. And they'll need them firing on Saturday evening.
All right, thanks for that, Paul. In racing, Aidan O'Brien says he still has faith in the Derby prospects of the Lion in winter, despite the horse only finishing sixth in the Dante Stakes at York yesterday. The race won by 18-1 shot Pride of Arras. And at home, Henry de Bromhead enjoyed a treble at Clonmel, while the action this evening is at Kilbeggan and Leopardstown.